Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast on this beautiful Monday morning. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy. Man, that beard is really coming in strong, by the way.
Actually got it trimmed this weekend.
You got it trimmed.
It's a little
good.
Shaped and
it's a little bit
clean.
More professional.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We got Matt Franciscovich in the building. What's up?
I'm doing good, man. Monday morning.
Okay.
Got, you know, training camps right around the corner.
Yeah.
Getting excited. It's draft season. It's fantasy draft season. Let's go.
I like it. All right, we got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gailhar. What's cracking, man?
Can we not go quite yet? Like,
why?
Can't we just extend, like, summer for a few more weeks?
Nope, let's go.
Before the season and stuff?
Nope.
Nope, can't do it. We got MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's going on?
Good to be back after a successful, entertaining road trip and wedding.
That's right.
Alex Gailhar and I, 16 hours in a car together.
Ooh, how was that?
It was good.
Fun. Yeah?
Had some great playlists, listened to a few podcasts, got ourselves ready for Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yep, we listened to a little bit of the what is it called?
Binge mode,
Game of Thrones, where two people from The Ringer rewatched every episode of Game of Thrones and recorded a podcast about every episode.
Yeah.
So we listened to like four or five from the latest season on our way down to mix it up.
Nice.
All right, we got the Fantasy Maverick.
What's
the great
going on?
Filibusterer himself.
No. None of that stuff right there. I do want to say one thing, though.
Yes.
What does it say about the world?
Yes.
When the Packers fan doesn't want football season to get here, but the Bears fan is ready to go. I like football.
I'm
ready for it to start. No, I'm just kidding.
You're ready for Mitchell Trubisky to just completely,
you know what?
Absolutely tank it?
First of all, he's not going to probably play because Mike Glennon is there, the GOAT himself.
Well,
Mike Glennon is a good NFL quarterback. The only person who didn't think so was Lovie Smith, the same person who thought it was a good idea to start baby Hans Grossman in the Super Bowl. So if Lovie doesn't like him, I love him. So we'll go with that. And I'm with franchise, like the fantasy draft. I know we've talked about this. I know your thing is 6 points for passing touchdowns.
Oh, yeah,
100%. Which really need, like,
that needs to be standard.
You know what's funny is we just promoted somebody to a fantasy ops position. So everybody who's been hitting us up on Twitter and Facebook and Insta and all that stuff, stop it. That position's been filled. We got to get in that guy's ear and be like, hey, real quick, before the season starts, just make the standard 6 points. Just not
slide
even a big
that,
thing.
Just slide
hey,
that
man,
in.
Just do that real quick. Slide boom. That. Make that happen. In addition, I also like the notion of drafting, like, right around now.
Now.
Like, now. Because then the training camp matters to you.
Yeah.
You have to sweat out.
No, I know. It extends the season out.
Wait, we're not supposed to call them exhibition. What are we supposed to, preseason or whatever?
Preseason.
Whatever we're supposed to call it.
We're,
I
not,
know
we're not supposed to call them exhibition.
No.
They're exhibitions.
That's what
there's
they
some,
are.
There's some trigger word that's like, no, don't ever say that. Don't ever call it an exhibition.
Meaningless games?
It might be exhibition. But I think that, it makes it a lot more enjoyable. And I'm going to start, not this season, because we've already set draft plans in motion.
Well, maybe we should call them real games. Because, and then we could really say that there has never been an undefeated season. Because I just looked into this. The 72 Dolphins, they lost in the preseason.
Of course they did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I like it.
You know what? And it's also.
Let's go down that road.
And season tickets. If you've ever been a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
Like, you have to buy those preseason games.
Terrible.
Which is annoying.
That's not good.
I mean, it was cool when you were a little kid. Those were always the games I was able to go to because my neighbor had tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cool because you didn't know any better. You're like, oh, I'm a little kid. I just want to go out and see these guys running around the field.
Yeah.
As an adult, you're like, I'm paying for this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's like.
Well, when
like
you're a little kid, it's just laundry to you. You know what I mean? And you're look at that laundry out in the field. It's great. But
like, those are the Rams uniforms.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly.
This is amazing.
Right. Okay. We got a great show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about late round running backs. As a matter of fact, the guys here at NFL.com have done a great job compiling a list of all your late round picks in general. We've got late round running backs. We've got late round wide receivers, late round tight ends, late round quarterbacks. It's the late round series. You can find it on NFL.com/fantasy. But today we will focus in on late round series, focusing in on running backs. Plus, we will talk about notable contract year players. Last week we talked about running backs. This week we talk about notable contract year players at the wide receiver position. Devontae Adams, John Brown, who I think is a very interesting player, plus Martavis Bryant. We will talk about Terrell Pryor as well. We'll close out with a round of daily depth. But we start, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, so we missed this in our last podcast, but it came out on Friday that Ezekiel Elliott could possibly be facing a 1 or 2 game suspension. That per the great Adam Schefter. And I want to highlight this, the possible suspension stems from domestic violence charges that were never actually brought forth as the prosecutors in the Columbus, Ohio area declined to press charges. This via the Columbus City Attorney's Office, quote, conflicting and inconsistent information. And that was the big reason why they did not press official charges. All right, back to fantasy, though. Oh, and also this came out this morning. Zeke reportedly involved in an incident at a Dallas area bar on Sunday night. No arrests were made. Police are investigating. Again, no arrests have been made. Police are investigating. The team and the league obviously aware of the situation. But if it comes down that Zeke Elliott misses, let's say, 2 games, is he still a top 3 pick?
He won't be. And I think it's going to be different. And I know you went with you and Brad Evans went over this on Twitter. And I'm on your side on this in that last year, everybody overreacted way too much to Le'Veon Bell missing a couple of games.
Because where'd he go? At like the end of
well,
the second?
Well, there's a league.
He was going like early second by August.
Okay.
That was industry hipsters. I was in the league where I play, I don't want to say randos, but people who are a little bit more casual. Mm-hmm. I was at the turn because I had Antonio Brown. And I did this just to make sure that I could say that I drafted him in the third round. But I drafted him with the first pick of the third.
Nice.
And so he fell, and it was ridiculous because he was so good over the rest of the season.
Right.
He probably took you to a championship or at least got you very close. Similarly, Ezekiel Elliott will benefit from what Le'Veon Bell did last year. So he won't fall into the second round, but he will certainly fall out of the top three because I think people will look at Antonio Brown and some of the more Odell Beckham Jr., some of those more reliable guys. I could see even Jay Ajayi jumping over him as well. So I think that he doesn't fall as far, but he does fall out of the top three. And by the way, and I know there's not a lot of information that's coming out about what happened to the incident on Sunday, but look, never go out on a Sunday night. I think that should be pretty standard. Like Sunday afternoon, amazing. But when that sun goes down, you get your butt home. I have a scar on my knee because I did not heed that advice. And one time we were partying in Newport Beach.
Yes.
The sun was down. I was running to catch a cab, and I ran flush into like one of those water meters.
Yeah.
There's like the sidewalks in Newport in between the apartments. Like I'm running full speed, like, cab's here. And I'm like booking. Nailed it. I still have a scar, and it's been like 15, 20 years.
How about this PSA?
don't go out on a Sunday night?
Sunday night.
I want to say one more thing, too, with Rank. I agree that if Zeke gets suspended even just a couple games, 2, maybe 3, he still probably could merit a first-round selection. Let's not forget that last year he finished as highly as he did not play in Week 17. So he did that in 15 games.
That's insane.
So he's proven that even if he loses like 1 or 2 games, he'll still probably finish in that among those top 5 running backs, which will make him worth a first-round investment.
Moving on, Deontay Foreman was arrested early Sunday morning on a weapons and marijuana charge. He was taken in by University of Texas police in Austin, where the former Longhorn said he was visiting friends. Foreman's lawyer released a statement saying the gun was legal and registered and that the weed was not used or possessed by Foreman, going so far as to say Foreman would submit to a urinalysis test to prove his innocence. We won't speculate on a suspension, obviously. If it happens, we'll talk about it then. But I did want to bring it up, at least put it on the fantasy radar for you folks out there. Moving on, Christian McCaffrey told NFL Network's Alex Flanagan that he is expecting to catch passes from Cam Newton this week or next. Now, usually, this would not really be news. We know, again, Christian McCaffrey, a great receiving running back, Cam Newton, a quarterback. Well, duh, they're going to be catching passes. But how about this? It's an indication, I think, that Cam's shoulder is doing a lot better and that he's actually ahead of schedule recovering from shoulder off-season shoulder surgery. Franchise?
Yeah, I think it's the first time Cam's going to be throwing all off-season, and it's good for both of them because McCaffrey didn't get the earlier summer reps because he had to like stay and finish his last semester or whatever it was at Stanford. So
yeah, it's a rule.
That's a silly rule.
Yeah. So he needs the on-field time with Cam. They need that to build that chemistry. ahead of camp, so I think it's all positive right now, the fact that Cam's getting back on the field and throwing, and the fact that McCaffrey will be there with him, and then we can finally get a gauge of just how good these guys are, what their chemistry is like, and they can start building on that towards some preseason action. And well, you can watch Christian McCaffrey's ADP skyrocket.
Once again. It seemed like it dropped a little bit when they said, hey, Jonathan Stewart's going to play a ton. Mm-hmm. So then it went down. And then after he told me at that same event with Alex Flanagan that he was picking McGregor over
– which is crazy.
Mayweather, which is like, all right.
Wow.
But he had reasons. Like, I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. I don't agree with them.
Right. Yeah, it's all good news. Like, get these guys on the field, start building their relationship. And
can we get somebody with the Colts to say something similar about
Andrew Luck?
so that we know that he's going to start throwing.
He's not concerned. It's fine.
That concerns me greatly.
It seems like Cam Newton's being way undervalued in drafts.
Well, he had such an awful season last year.
Yeah, it's one bad year.
I mean, he was, what, like the quarterback 18 or 19? I mean,
how much of that has to do with the injury, you know? Like, was he 100% from, like, week two on?
Like, nobody's giving him the benefit of the doubt of a bounce back.
Yeah, none.
Like, oh, wait, he's terrible.
Which, Frank, you're right, in fantasy is kind of crazy because, like, you know, we made this point ad nauseum with Aaron Rodgers when he had his abysmal season or whatever when he finishes the QB8. But much like Rodgers, Cam has pretty much exclusively been a top four fantasy QB his entire career, save last year. Now, granted, that was also a lot reliant on his rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. So some people might be building in expectations that he's going to run less this year. But, I mean, Cam's still Cam. And until they actually get him to just be a pure pocket quarterback, I think he's going to have that instinct to run, and he's still going to rack up some points doing it.
Yeah, I mean, again, but we start talking about those things. It's funny to me because the more Cam runs, the less I think effective Christian McCaffrey will be, right? So those two things, to me at least, are tied together. And as we've highlighted on this very podcast, running quarterbacks generally don't throw to their running backs either. So I don't know. It's certainly something to watch, especially during whatever limited preseason action we're going to see from those two gentlemen.
But I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to be a typical running back, and where he's going to be on the field is going to be much different than you would expect from somebody who's going to be a checkdown artist, because he'll be lined up in the slot and they'll find creative ways to get him the ball. A lot of dump offs. I think that his passing yards will actually start to go up. When you have exciting players with him, with McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, I think that's going to be a huge benefit to Cam.
All right, so there you go. We'll go to Arizona. Kerwin Williams is reportedly the handcuff now to own in Arizona. Kent Summers, the great Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic. If you don't follow him for Cardinals news, you should. He says Bruce Arians is comfortable with Kerwin Williams backing up David Johnson because of the improvements he's made in pass blocking. And, oh, by the way, remember Andre Ellington converting to wide receiver? Apparently that dream has died. Summers also says Ellington is now back as a running back.
Terrible.
Another name to keep in mind there is the rookie speedster out of North Carolina, T.J. Logan. We go to Marcus Grant. Kerwin Williams, the handcuff to own. Is he even draftable, though?
Nope.
Nope.
I mean, you know, when you've got David Johnson saying, I think I can handle 30 touches a game this year, I mean, unless something actually happens to him, Kerwin Williams, T.J. Logan, Andre Ellington. I mean, these guys just have next to no value there. So, I mean, you know, I know that, you know, there is a growing debate about the validity of drafting handcuffs in fantasy football, but I can certainly tell you that there's no reason to try and grab somebody from Arizona. I mean, that is truly going to be a wasted roster spot. So instead of worrying about who's going to back up David Johnson, go spend that roster, that draft pick on something else, on someone else.
McFadden.
Right. And then if you know, heaven forbid, something does happen to David Johnson, okay, then there will be the mad stampede to the waiver wire to pick up Kerwin Williams. But that's about it.
All right. There you go. I think that's good advice. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the late round series that you guys have written. We'll focus on the running back position. The great Matt Franciscovich, the franchise.
Yeah, buddy.
Wrote this piece. You talk about some – you give us a handful of names, really interesting names that you can find in the 10th round or later of your standard 10-team draft. We'll start with Jeremy Hill. I feel as if he is being underdrafted right now. Explain your reasoning here.
Look, I just can't quit Jeremy Hill. I have this affinity for him. Every year, I've had him in Dynasty League. Like, every year, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take Jeremy Hill.
I like it. Why not?
But everyone's – obviously, they drafted Joe Mixon, who's super talented. And the hum from beat writers in Cincinnati, even since last season ended before they drafted Joe Mixon, was Jeremy Hill is still going to be the short yardage goal line guy. His volume will probably go down. He's had like over 200 carries each of the last three seasons. So we might see a downtick there as Mixon gets more involved. But I think to start the season, Mixon will be the third down guy. Hill will be the early down short yardage guy. And that has value in a fantasy league when you can get a guy with touchdown upside like Hill has
100%
in the 10th round or later.
Yeah, I agree.
So round 10, I'll take him there all day.
James White, you have penciled in. He currently has an ADP in the 12th round. Explain your reasoning there.
So everyone is on Mike Gillisley, but his ADP is round 5 now.
It's outrageous.
Mike Gillisley.
Everyone's kind of assumed.
What?
Mike Gillisley into round 5.
Yeah. No, he is not. Yeah, no.
It's crazy.
That is insane.
Everyone just assumes he's going to be LeGarrette Blount. Right? Well, it's 18 touchdowns, it's 300 carries.
I haven't looked at his ADP, but my God, you're telling me it's in the fifth round?
Yes. It all goes back to the dearth of running backs out there. So anytime there's a running back with any sort of viability, that guy is going to get overdrafted. This is the way of the world now.
Right. I get it.
That's crazy talk.
Old Gil, you got to love him.
Do you?
I know Burkhead's there, so it's a little
exactly.
It's a little daunting.
He's the goat,
right? and that's the thing. There's so many guys in this backfield. How can you invest a fifth round pick in a guy who you don't even know what his role is going to be, especially in New England? So I went with James White here because he's going in the 12th round, and he's one of the best pass catching backs in the league. He was the star of the Super Bowl last year.
He should have been MVP.
Should have been. The real Super Bowl MVP was James White. Let's get real, people.
I agree.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is the MVP of that game. If Jimmy Garoppolo, it's 28-3, and Jimmy Garoppolo's out there, do you think the Patriots win?
Toast. Look, I'm just
asking a simple question. Yes or no?
I'm just sick of Tom Brady.
Yes or no?
I'm just sick of him.
I mean,
yes or no?
Garoppolo was what? He was 2-1 as a starter. I mean, yeah, why not?
It's true. Why not?
Got it.
Why not?
I'll take it.
Anyway,
the whole reason Patriots are able to rally
No.
The whole reason
I tell you
able
what,
to rally.
Jacoby Brissett would have taken that team back from 28-3. I'm telling you,
the whole reason New England felt that they could
Jacoby Brissett. Would have done the same damn thing. Tom Brady's an easily replaceable player.
System quarterback,
bro.
I think you can say that about the running.
You know what? We should have gave the MVP to Bill Belichick. That's what we should have done.
He should. Yeah. Okay.
He should have been the MVP.
He's the best. You know what's funny too?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go
it's
back.
Fine.
I'm sorry. I hijacked your James White.
Go ahead.
Please.
Got,
no.
Got railroaded.
But you know what? Here's the thing. The Giants, and everybody talks about, like, how they're a great team. Like, Bill Belichick has pretty much basically had a hand in all four of their Super Bowl titles because the Giants beat them twice. But the two Super Bowls that they won were largely because of his defenses, because he was a defensive coordinator, especially the one in Super Bowl 25 when they shut down that high-powered Bills offense. That's Belichick, because you look at Parcells without Belichick, not a Hall of Fame coach.
Okay.
That's my unpopular opinion. That's why
Belichick's
I'm drafting James White.
Well, I'm drafting him in round 12 because after the Super Bowl, they re-upped his contract. He's the guy who's been there the longest. He has a rapport with Tom Brady. They trust him. Belichick and Brady have both been, look, this is our guy. We know what his role is going to be, and we don't know what any of these other guys' role is.
I guess the only question there for me anyways regarding James White, how much will he be out on the field?
Well, they work him in the slot a lot, kind of like Theo Riddick. Mm-hmm. So I see some value there. Maybe he's not in the backfield on every snap, but he's out at running routes like a wide receiver, which has value, especially in PPR leagues. So given his 12th round value, like if you're looking to bolster
your
bench
That's a good point.
In the late rounds,
why the hell not?
Take a stab at James White.
Why the hell not? I like it. CJ, you know what? I've noticed about this. You like them pass catching running backs.
Well, they're all
This is the most hipster thing about
this. They're all values.
This is the most hipster thing about this list.
Yes, sure. They are a
fantasy
lot.
Fantasy hipsters love themselves some pass catching running backs.
That's right. That's right. And there's a trend in the league. You know, guys like Tevin Coleman and Theo Riddick, they have value. It's just they're taken later because they're not seen as touchdown guys.
How about CJ Procise there in Seattle?
Yeah, so last year we just saw.
Talk about a guy you can't quit.
I know. I love CJ Procise. Last year we saw flashes week 10 and 11. They beat the Seahawks beat the Patriots in week 10. It was Tom Brady's only loss last year.
Okay.
And Procise was the Seahawks' leading receiver and running back in that game. Then the next game against Philly, he had that like 72-yard touchdown run, and then he got hurt, and we didn't see him again all season. So he's healthy finally. And we got Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls there, but CJ Procise is still locked in as the third down back, and I think they're going to use him in creative ways. And he's explosive.
I want to hear from the rest of the stronghold. MG, we'll start with you in regards to CJ Procise. It's a crowded backfield there. Your thoughts on CJ?
I do like him. You know, I worry about how much he's going to be involved in the offense. But I do think that if what we saw last year is any indication, the Seahawks threw the ball a little bit more than we were used to seeing. That obviously is where Procise slides in nicely. But how the distribution of labor is going to be split up between he and Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls kind of remains to be seen. But if we're talking about a late round draft pick on a guy, I believe in Procise.
Alex Gilhar?
I think it's a solid value to grab him because with Lacy and Rawls kind of duking it out, presumably for the same type of role, that early down touchdown hammer. Procise at least has a carved out role. He's coming at a value in the double digit rounds, and we've seen he's talented enough to run it between the tackles and be a home run threat.
I was just about to ask, can this guy be a between the tackles runner?
Yeah, absolutely. In the off chance that he wins this job outright or those other two guys, I mean, he's been saddled with injuries. All three of them have been saddled with a lot of injuries.
None of them are
recently.
Durable.
So, like, why not take a dart throw on a. If you're taking him in the 11th round, he's going to be a bench guy, and you hope that he might, provide
emerge.
Some flex value, or he can emerge as a starter.
Yeah. I think anytime you're taking somebody in the double-digit rounds, you're going to put them on your bench for a while. And you've got to be that's one of the things. You've got to be patient in fantasy. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to wait a few weeks out and hold on to guys. And there's going to be those hot waiver wire ads that you're super tempted to pick up, but there's got to be a line in the sand you got to draw with some of these guys that you're going to be saying, you know what, man, I'm willing to wait 2, 3, 4 weeks to see what happens.
Look at Jay Ajayi last year.
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. Oh, my God. If you drafted Jay Ajayi and then let him go after week one.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
And it was the same with Dante.
You hate yourself.
It was the same with Dante Foreman. Devonta Freeman 2 years ago.
Great point.
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman was a starter there.
Yeah, you know who did that in one league?
Uh-oh.
This guy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoops.
It happens.
You've got Theo Riddick in who's got an ADP in the 10th round. Tell me why you like old Chronicles of Riddick there in Detroit.
So Amir Abdullah's healthy, we hope, but he doesn't have a track record of durability.
No. Also has a track record of fumbles.
Riddick also.
How dare you? How dare you?
Yes, he does have a track record of fumbles.
What is he on your dynasty team? Why do you care about Amir Abdullah?
I like him.
Hopefully, I like him too. Hopefully he'll be the guy there, but Riddick still has value either way. He had surgery on both of his wrists this offseason, which is a little bit of a red flag. But if he's fully healthy and he's in there based on his target market share the last couple seasons, he's in line for at least 80 targets across 16 games. Only four running backs at 80-plus targets in 2015 and only three last year. So that's a huge target market share. He used to be a wide receiver, so he can run routes. They put him in the slot. They use him all over the place. And Anquan Boldin's not there anymore.
I think that's the big part.
Yeah, that's a bunch of targets, especially in the red zone.
Because Boldin was feasting underneath.
Yes.
I mean, him and Golden Tate, you know what I mean? They were using that short passing work in that Jim Bob Cooter offense. So
JBC.
JBC,
me? That's right.
So, I mean, I think with Anquan Boldin gone now, Theo Riddick certainly looks like he may have a few more opportunities. All right, honorable mention, Joe Williams in San Francisco, Alvin Kamara in New Orleans, and DeAndre Washington in Oakland. Of those three, who sticks out for you? Give me a quick analysis.
I'd say probably Joe Williams right now because the drumbeat has been that Carlos Hyde is going to have to work for his job.
Right.
And they went out and got Joe Williams in the draft. You know, they I think they traded up for him.
I don't know, but they
I
liked
don't remember,
him.
But they liked him. Yeah, Shanahan likes him. So
the story, as the story goes, I guess San Francisco had him off the board entirely because he has a lot of off-the-field issues out of Utah. Mm-hmm. But this guy's a great runner, Adam. Right? As you probably know, watching a lot of these Pac-12 games, but I guess Shanny loved the kid.
Yeah, he really does. And you got to – you lean towards the guys that he always picks anytime a new coach comes in, and you realize that when there's an incumbent like Carlos Hyde, he's not going to be given the benefit of the doubt. And it was a similar thing that happened in Atlanta where they went in and Shanahan and that regime drafted
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman, yep. And they weren't really high on Devontae Freeman.
No.
But
I mean, they gave Coleman the starting
but
job.
But Freeman is such a good running back that he's going to get over. Like, it's inevitable. I don't get that feeling with Carlos Hyde. There are plays that he makes that are just incredible. I think
incredible.
The spins against Minnesota a couple of years ago.
The Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, straight out of Madden, you know, where you're like, this guy is incredible. But we've seen enough of Carlos Hyde to where it just hasn't clicked for him. Now, perhaps being with Kyle Shanahan, excuse me, could he be instead turn into one of those running backs? Possibly. But I would go with the guy – that the coaching staff is invested in, or the guys that they're bringing in.
I mean, they did, you know, bring in Tim Hightower as well, but it's Tim Hightower.
That's a camp body.
Yeah. Okay.
Until that Breida guy.
He's pretty weathered at this point.
The Georgia Southern kid.
Weathered.
By the way, I went
great
back.
Great word.
Weathered.
I like it.
But I did go back and try to look as much as possible at that Georgia Southern kid.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he's nice.
Yeah?
He's really good.
Okay.
You got to take into account the competition that he's going
against. You're talking about Breida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But he – I don't want to put it because I don't want to say that he's going to come out and have a Jordan Howard
type season. You're
but
talking about Joe Williams?
Breida.
Oh, Breida. You're still talking about Breida?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of times when you watch the running backs, that even though they're playing against lesser competition, and somebody like Jordan Howard was playing at Alabama, Birmingham, and then Indiana, you're like, well, we'll see, because they didn't play big-time football. But you're like, sometimes that works to their benefit.
Jordan Howard played in a Power 5 conference, and he still ran roughshod over people in the
I think
Big
that's
Ten.
What he is, I think that's what he's alluding to.
He's alluding to?
Yeah.
Who, Jordan Howard?
Yeah, when he was
at
Indiana.
He played at Alabama, Birmingham for 2 years. He played 1 year.
In Indiana.
And played well.
He played very well.
Yes, but it's not like he was recruited to a Big 5 Power conference.
It's true.
He started, and if they wouldn't have dropped their program, then he wouldn't have gone to Indiana.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. All right, let's talk about notable contract year players at the wide receiver position. Devontae Adams leads this list in my mind. His rookie deal is expiring. There's about a 0% chance that Green Bay will franchise tag this guy. So I think there's a lot of motivation, Alex Gilhart, going to 2017 for Devontae Adams.
Certainly should be. And, I mean, he missed 1,000 yards last year by, 3 yards and had his double-digit touchdowns. So I'm sure he wants to prove that it was no fluke. The issue is just going to be for him delivering on this contract year hype and, you know, trying to get himself a great payday, whether it's with Green Bay or beyond, is the volume of targets he's going to see. Because, simply put, like, Randall Cobb's going to be healthier. Jordy Nelson's back to 100%. They got Martellus Bennett. They have running backs they can throw to. So it's going to be tough. It could be tough for him to return the kind of value we found last year with him, especially near the red zone. He had 121 targets last year. I mean, that could be a hard number for him to hit again this year with a healthier Randall Cobb and Martellus Bennett there likely soaking up a lot more looks. So I think he's still a decent player to draft. I wouldn't get crazy about reaching for him, though. I think
– what's a good price?
I don't know. His ADP, I think, is in like the fourth or fifth round, and I'd
that
rather –
sounds about right, no?
I'd rather wait a little longer.
Okay.
Just to insulate myself from that risk there.
I mean, he did have a very rocky season in 20. Even though the overall, you know, compiling of numbers was good.
It was a lot of peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
He had, like, if you go to his game logs, I think he had a couple different 2-touchdown games. He had games where he'd just disappear, but that was the type of receiver he is. He had 1, 2, 3, 4 games with over 100 yards. And then he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different games where he scored a touchdown. So that was at least the relatively consistent part. But
yeah.
12 touchdowns is hard to replicate. So I think he's going to be a good player again, but he's not one of the contract guys I'd be circling to, like, reach a round or two early on.
Okay. How about Terrell Pryor? He signed a 1-year, $6 million deal in Washington. Last year in Cleveland, his first full year as a wide receiver, I couldn't believe this number. I couldn't believe he saw 140 targets last year. 140 targets. He only pulled in 77 receptions. Did have 1,000 yards, had 4 touchdowns, and obviously was playing with a variety of hot garbo.
Oh.
What? Is that not true?
Cody Kessler played pretty well.
Did he?
He wasn't bad.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay.
He
played pretty well. All right. Meh.
I'm sorry. He didn't come and light the world on fire.
I mean,
I thought he was.
He's no Jacoby Brissett, obviously.
Obviously. Obvious potential Super Bowl MVP, Jacoby Brissett. No? Okay.
You're so wrong. You're so wrong.
Look, he didn't play with very good quarterback play last year.
I agree.
That's the bottom.
I agree.
He did not play in a very good offense.
Kirk Cousins is a step up from anything. Oh, he's a big Terrell Pryor.
And you talk about somebody in a contract year with something to not necessarily prove, but Kirk Cousins wants to go out there and get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor wants to go out and get paid.
Yeah, it's a nice combination.
I love that combination.
And he's been working with Randy Moss in the offseason.
Love it.
Dude, Pryor's a beast. And he's still learning how to be a wide receiver.
That's what I'm saying.
He might not have reached his potential yet.
You know that Terrell Pryor was the last quarterback to start for the Raiders
before Derek Carr.
Wow. That's so weird.
That is a true statement.
That is so crazy. All right, Adam Wright, give me your take on Terrell Pryor. To me, this is a guy that I need. I absolutely need this dude come draft time.
Certainly reaching for him probably way earlier than I would want to.
Yeah.
Just kind of monitoring the ADP. He's going to be somebody by the time we get to drafts is going to be – overvalued, but
a third rounder.
Easy.
Hold on, I think he's in the third round right now.
Already? All right. Well, it's already here.
39 overall.
It's already happening.
Oh, he's 30. He's
39 overall. That's a
fourth round.
According to Fantasy.
That's fourth round.
Well, Fantasy Football Calculator's got him at 32.
Okay, so
he's
just
on the cusp.
Yeah,
it's like that iceberg sliding away from Antarctica. We can't stop it sliding now. It's already happened.
It's out of the bag.
And I mean, look, Pierre Garçon isn't there anymore. DeSean Jackson's not there anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
And they hate Josh Doctson.
Jordan Reed can't stay on the field. Like, the opportunity is
crazy. I
think
if Jordan Reed's even out there, it's still fine. I mean, you know, Terrell Pryor fills a role that Jordan Reed is obviously a tremendous player.
Yeah.
But, good God, we're talking about, nearly 600 passes out there.
I think that 140 targets seems doable.
Oh, easily repeatable.
Well, I mean, I really don't see how, basically Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder slide into the Pierre Garçon, D-Jax situation there. I mean, I know they're not the same players. They don't necessarily go one-to-one, but those roles are now available, and those are the two players
100%
that are going to step into them.
Right.
And even if you think, like, Jamison Crowder had 99 targets last year, Jordan Reed had 89. So even if you assume that they're going to eat some more, there were 214 targets that walked out the door with Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. So even if you take 30 targets from that pool and give it to each Reed and Crowder, you're still left with about 140 for Pryor again.
I like
from a better quarterback and a high-flying offense.
Yeah,
buddy. I like it a lot. This is a guy, Terrell Pryor, that you absolutely need to circle.
I love Terrell Pryor.
Unless you're in my draft, then don't circle him. this is probably a good time to remind people that rate and review the podcast.
Yes, please.
Because sometime later this summer, we will be taking applicants for the Listener League.
Yes.
And we've got multiple Listener Leagues. We're going to have the OG League. Again, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have the Bearded League, yes.
Should be.
The Fantasy Hipster League.
And I will definitely tell you we will have the Danger Zone League once again this year as well.
Nice.
It's going to be a massive 16-team league.
Did we do 12 or did we do 14
teams? We did 12, I believe.
16-team, two quarterback league.
Make it a super.
Oh, my God, dude, two quarterbacks.
We're not doing
16-team, two quarterbacks.
Come on. What?
That means every quarterback
all the QBs
has to start.
Will be gone by the third round.
Superflex. Just do Superflex. You don't have to start, too.
Wait, can you do Superflex on NFL.com?
Yeah, you can make the flex a QB option.
Okay.
I'm pretty positive you can.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have to quorum on.
Everybody tweet at James and tell him Superflex 16-team.
We're gonna have to take a quorum on. I don't know about that.
And by the way, you can also draft right now, NFL.com/fantasy. Do your live draft, mock draft with people.
Yes.
And don't forget to hit up the draft kit. We got all this late round series is in there. Lots of other research and stuff to help you get prepared for draft day.
All right. Good. Perfect. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about Arizona. I get hives thinking about a two quarterback league.
Come on.
In general, even in a 10 team two quarterback, I hate it. Absolutely hate it. A 16 team two.
It's the danger zone, bro.
He's looking at me right now, folks.
It's going to be great because in those weeks when there's six teams on a bye.
That's so stupid. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
It's a danger zone.
It's true. That's very true. We're going to have to get together and talk about this. Let's move on to Arizona. Let's talk about John Brown. He started just 6 games last year, although I think he played in 15. Saw 73 targets, 517 yards, 2 touchdowns. Although Michael Floyd, now gone, Floyd had 88 targets in this offense last year and often started alongside Larry Fitzgerald. It looks like it's going to be John Brown starting opposite Larry Fitz. This is a guy, gentlemen, that, you know, fantasy hipster or not, I love this kid, and I think he's going to be a prime candidate, again, in a contract year to go out there and ball. Alex Gilhar, your thoughts?
Sorry, I was just distracted by something else, but I love John Brown this year. I think we started to see his potential last year was just ravaged with injuries, the sickle cell trait, everything, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And, like, they're going to need him to step up. Like, they haven't made a significant investment at the wide receiver position in a long time. They just took Chad Williams in the 3rd round, but he's out of a small school, Grambling State. And, you know, John Brown has a history with Carson Palmer. He can get deep. He can run all the routes. I think he's in a great spot. He's being so undervalued these years right now, going like close to round 10 in 12-team drafts, I
Crazy.
Think.
Crazy, yeah.
Like for a potential number one wide receiver on what could be a good offense, like, I mean, I have concerns about the Cardinals if Carson Palmer, you know, shows more signs of aging, but if things go well, John Brown is going to be a great wide receiver in fantasy.
I mean, people forget, too, early on in the season before the sickle cell trait really took hold, I mean, there was a game where he saw, you know, 14 targets, had 11 receptions, 144 yards or whatever it was. So he's seen, you know, double-digit target share in a couple different games early on in the season. And then, of course, you know, his health kind of deteriorated as the season went on. But I know he's a smallish receiver, Marcus Grant, but I don't know, man. I got a feeling this could be his year.
No, I believe. I do. I totally believe in the John Brown redemption this year. You know, again, he just has to stay healthy, stay on the field. We have seen what he can do. And I guess I tend to believe that last year the Cardinals had – it was more of a hiccup, a speed bump. You know, hopefully they've shored up that offensive line because that's a big part of it. But I truly believe that John Brown is poised to come back and have a big year. And so if he continues to go where he's currently going in drafts – That's almost stealing.
Yeah, James, the games, there were 2 games, because I remember Harmon was breathing a big sigh of relief because John Brown's one of his boys, one of his reception favorites. It was in weeks 3 and 4, he saw 11 targets, caught 6 passes for 70 yards, and then the next week saw 16 targets, caught 10 passes for .144.
Huge.
I think I remember Harmon tweeting out some next-gen stats, route charts, too, that showed he was doing everything. He's not just a deep threat.
Right.
Now, fully healthy, he's not going to average, you know, 13 targets a game. But you've seen what type of receiver he can be even last year in a disaster season. So the arrow is pointing up for Mr. John Brown.
That's what I would think. I would think in Arizona, too. You know what I mean? I think they're going to be better this year. At least I would hope so. I mean, I've got some questions about the quarterback position. But man, it's hard not to like his price right now, John Brown, his role in the offense. I don't know, man. These last 2 guys, Terrell Pryor and John Brown, those are guys that if you're going running back heavy early, get these guys, man.
Yeah.
Get these guys. All right, contract year players that I'm tired of talking about already, so we're not going to talk about them. Martavis Bryant, his rookie deal is coming up. Suspensions, he's got lots to prove. Dante Moncrief, his rookie deal is coming up as well. He's been, you know, saddled with a lot of injuries. He's got lots to prove.
But his quarterback's also coming off an injury, too.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a red flag.
I know. And I want to love Dante Moncrief. I do, but man, the shoulder injury to Andrew Luck has me concerned, and of course, Dante Moncrief himself has dealt with a lot of injuries. He's got a lot to prove, man, so I don't know. I think Dante Moncrief, if everything goes right, could be a guy that goes absolutely ham this year, but again, we've talked about him ad nauseum. Alshon Jeffrey, 1 year, $9.5 million deal with Philadelphia, a show-me-prove-it deal. In Philadelphia, he's had suspensions and injuries. He has a lot to prove as well, but my God, we've talked about Alshon a lot. These are some other guys that are in contract years, but they've got nothing to prove. I don't know if it matters. DeAndre Hopkins, Allen Robinson, again, rookie deals coming up. They're in contract years technically, but I don't think they have anything to prove. I don't think them being in contract years really, you know, moves the needle for Nuke or Allen Robinson.
I don't know. I think Nuke, and it's not maybe not a big thing to prove, but, you know, he was, 2 years ago was obviously outstanding. Last year with Brock Osweiler, it was miserable.
Miserable.
And I do think there's a little bit of, hey, let's make sure that, you know, the one big year wasn't just a mirage, and that last year he wasn't, you know, that maybe Osweiler was bad as we think he was. Because if he comes out this year and he's just okay.
Well, what about if Tom Savage is as bad? I mean, well, keep it. It's not like Tom Savage was.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, you're right. So I mean, maybe we won't know. And so maybe at the end of it, we'll look around and we'll just be like, hey, maybe Nuke is just somewhere in the middle.
No, I don't think that's the truth at all. I mean, he had 1,200 yards his sophomore season, 1,500 his third year. Last year, that offense was an abject disaster. It hurt my eyes to watch.
Oh, you couldn't watch it. It was unwatchable.
Game tape during the week.
Unwatchable.
And he still almost cracked 1,000 yards. Yeah. So I think Nuke is safe. I don't think they're going to.
Even his rookie season was pretty
good. He had 800 yards as a rookie.
That's what I'm saying. I liked it. But there you go. All right, so let's close out your show with a round of Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily
Daps and Hub. Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up daps about daps.
Daily dap time. I'll start us off. I'll undap technology. I've been trying to get this bad boy going on Facebook Live, and we've been relatively consistent about it.
Yeah.
The only problem is technology doesn't want to work with me here. We've had bad internet throughout the building today in this morning. So the internet or the feed on Facebook Live is basically unusable, according to my Facebook Live mentions here. So I do apologize to those folks who were, you know, tuning in, and we've done a pretty good job with trying to get it up. But just when I thought we had the whole technology side figured out today, the internet does not want to work with me. I will give a dap to, I just started, Ray Donovan. And I know it's been around for years now. But my God, what a great show this is. And I know I'm super late to the train here, but whatever, man. Look, I just got Showtime, so I'm catching up
on. It's like discovering music.
Yeah.
If you just stumbled upon George Harrison, you're like, wow, this guy's really
this guy's pretty good.
But shows like that can be timeless
yeah.
because it doesn't matter because you just binge watch them anyway.
That's right. That's exactly right. So I just stumbled upon Ray Donovan, and I absolutely love it. By the way, because of Marcus Grant's suggestion on Thursday, started watching Castlevania.
Uh-huh.
Interesting show.
Right.
Very interesting show. I'm through two episodes of Castlevania. It's such a short watch, too.
Right.
I mean, it's like 20 minutes of content.
Basically.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So bang, 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 you're in, you're out. But no, very interesting. Not what I expected, by the way, either.
No, and it's not for the kids.
It is not for the kids.
It's not for the kids.
It is not for the kids. but yeah, no, it's a very interesting anime, and I would, again, highly recommend that as well. All right, Alex Gilhar, give me some daily daps.
First daily dap to our friend and colleague, Haitham Kalani, on getting hitched this weekend.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Beautiful little wedding for he and his wife, Kayla, on one of her family's ranches way up in NorCal. It was, fortunately for us, not like 1,000 degrees on the day of the wedding. It was actually hotter the day before.
Huh.
So those of us wearing full suits, which included Marcus and me, dodged a bullet there. I have to dap the return of Game of Thrones. It was amazing. Very excited to have that show back. And also daily daps to the staff at The Ringer for the Binge Mode podcast. I wasn't sure how I would feel about it, them like diving deep episode by episode. I was kind of hoping they were going to do like episodes per season so you could really catch up. But they did a great job. They had some fun segments.
Wait, hold on. Every single one of their episodes
is about an episode of Game of Thrones. So they did 60 episodes over the past like couple months
Some of their podcast episodes are longer than the actual episodes.
Yeah. No, seriously, the one we listened to yesterday on the season 6 finale was an hour and 15 minutes long. But that was because they're both big book fans as well, which I appreciate because
I've read
the books. I'm not nearly as knowledgeable as those two.
Oh, I see.
But so they would dive deep into sections of the book lore and explain like what they were showing us in the show versus what wasn't there, and like
I mean, it was a damn
other stuff like that.
It was a damn history lesson about Westeros.
Yeah, like no, it was really good, and it reminded me of stuff too because I haven't read the books in years. I should honestly go back and reread them. But
yeah.
They were super knowledgeable and they're super fun, and they just love the show. And like, if you want to, like, I would recommend just go back and pick some of your favorite episodes and hear them talk about it. Or like, if you want to get re-caught up before this current season, just. Breeze through those episodes too, because they give you some more context and backstory than what the actual episodes themselves do.
Interesting. All right.
So check it out. Yeah, Binge Mode podcast from The Ringer.
The Magical Beard of Fantasy, Matt Franchise. What's up?
I went to the movie theater this weekend, you guys.
Whoa!
I saw a movie.
What'd you see?
Why is this a big deal?
I don't see a lot of movies.
Oh, I see.
I saw The Big Sick.
Oh, okay. Love.
And it was good. It was good. I got some Master of None vibes a little bit. Aziz was first, bro. Come on. But it was good. It was a good. It was a story. It was emotional.
Okay.
It was a good story. I loved everything about it.
There you go.
It was good stuff.
One of my favorite movies of the year.
It kind of pulled at the heartstrings a little bit.
Can we dig a little deeper here, though? Like, why don't you go to theater? Like, I used to love to go to movies, and I made it a common thing. But nowadays, with a kid, you just can't do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it's impossible. But why don't you go?
I don't know. I just don't.
You don't like the theater
experience? I have a fear of
paying. Is it too expensive? What is it?
I have a fear of paying money to go see a movie that I'm going to regret having paid for at the end of it.
It also that's how I feel about buying the DVD of Chips.
franchise, it does suck for you, too. You're by, like, only expensive theaters in Hollywood.
Yeah,
like,
the Arclight
in Hollywood is super expensive. Yeah, the Chinese theater is more expensive. But you got to go deeper east. Go to, like, Los Feliz 3 or the Vista. They have cheaper viewings. Or do what I do and go see movies on Tuesdays at the discount days.
Nice.
Okay.
$6, man.
I made it.
It sounds like you had a bad experience. What was the?
No, I never really have. I'm not.
You've never had a bad experience.
I'm not someone who.
Come on, bro.
He picks and chooses his movies.
Yeah, I know.
I only go see movies that I pretty much are guaranteed that I'm gonna like.
Okay.
So like, if I'm going to see a movie, like, I'll see what this is about.
Yeah.
I will feel crappy at the end if I didn't like it.
All right.
I'll be like, I wasted my time. I wasted my money. I'm never gonna get those 2 hours back. This was stupid.
I'll tell you two movies that I thought were going to be slam dunks and that I just could not stand.
Yeah.
I just thought were just god-awful. One was Tinker Tailor. I was like, there's just no way this is going to be a bad movie. There's just no way. Look at this cast. There's no way this is a bad movie.
Huh.
Horrendous.
Okay.
I couldn't handle it.
Never heard of it.
Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy. Yes.
Yes.
Nope. Never heard of it.
It's got like every good British actor in it.
Exactly.
It's espionage. It's based on, I think, a novel or like a mini series.
It was so choppy and it was so discombobulating.
I liked it. It was confusing though.
God, it was.
It was a process.
Oh my
to take
God.
In that movie. I'll
and
say.
Then and then at the end, you're like, this is the end? It's like, it was bad. I didn't like it.
That's what I fear.
Yeah, the other one was, I think it was The Master? Is that the one with...
Yeah, with Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yeah. I enjoyed
that film.
The Master of Disguise.
No, not that one. Not that one. I was thinking Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix. I'm like, this duo cannot lose.
Yeah.
You can't lose with it. They lost.
That's how they get you, man.
I actually enjoyed that movie. That's how I felt about The Fan.
Oh, with the
I was like, you know, I remember I was,
the movie about Barry Bonds.
Basically the movie about Barry Bonds. I'm like, you know, my friends were gonna go see it. It was like, hey, it's Snipes, it's De Niro, it's baseball. It
right?
Can't be
ba- How was, could it be bad?
It was terrible.
It was bad.
About the but
it was terrible.
You know what else bothers me about going to the movies?
What
is that? I could be at a tavern for a long stretch of time. Let's say 5 hours before I have to break the seal.
Yeah.
But I swear.
Wow, that's good.
I swear to Great Caesar's ghost himself. Uh-huh. I sit in a movie theater for 20 minutes, have a sip of a Diet Pepsi. I'm like, oh my God, it feels like I drank a can. It's all I can think about. I have to dehydrate myself. I purposely dehydrate myself. Don't have any liquids for 2 hours and then go into this. And it sucks. Like, even so anytime you go to a movie, then the most recent ones I've seen are Wonder Woman, Rogue One. I've had to go back a second time just to be able to have, like, popcorn and drinks. And I know the part where, like, oh, I can bounce to the bathroom here. But I never do, and then I still feel miserable. So I get that. I get that kind of – I wish you could pause it. Like, can we just pause? Like, put it in – like, now that these – filmmakers like making these movies 2.5 hours long. Throw in an intermission. Like, is it gonna kill you?
Oh, that's interesting.
Just put in an intermission, and then
halftime.
Anxiety's gone.
Sure,
we can regroup.
Yeah,
you can kind of let everything digest. But
I think
over 3 hours, I'd be okay with an intermission. Don't do it if it's under.
No, how about 2.5 hours?
Nah,
that's a long time.
Because here's the thing: how about if you're gonna go watch, you know, Infinity War? Okay, and it's gonna be a 2.5 hour epic. All right, and you like to, you know. Maybe you like to boost it up a little bit before you go in.
Yes, I do.
You know what I mean? That's not a bad experience. Boosting it up, watching Infinity War.
No.
2.5 hours.
That's when I fall asleep.
You need a halftime. I think you need a halftime for something like that.
Sure.
So
I agree.
All right. MG, Mike, and Marcus. Wow, we went down with this. That was pretty good.
Yes, we did.
MG, Mike, and Marcus Grant, what you got?
I do want to piggyback on what Yelhar said about, you know, congrats to Hytham and Kayla. That was certainly a wonderful time. They throw a great party, and congrats to them. Definitely excited about Game of Thrones coming back. I want a daily dap, and I know that this is in the newsroom. I feel like I'm in the minority of this. The series they've been doing on SB Nation, 17776.
Is it good?
It is weird and wonderful,
so weird.
And it's really out there.
I watched the first
So I
episode.
So I'm behind.
I don't know what to call it. Is it an episode?
Yeah, they're kind of episode.
Sure.
Pieces.
It's a saga.
I believe he's finished now. It's at chapter 25, I believe, is the last one, which I have to catch up and read and watch them all. But
dude, are all the chapters as long as chapter one? Because
No, they're not.
I can't handle it.
They're not.
Then I'm out.
And some of them are video. So, I mean, what part? Okay, so the basic premise is what is it's based on what is the future of football, but it's more kind of a dystopian sci-fi future story about what life will be like 15,000 years from now in what could be the United States, and it's kind of based around the future of football. Like I said, it's definitely weird. It's definitely kind of out there.
Yep.
But I appreciate the fact, one, just I think it's a master stroke of creativity. I think it's
great point.
It's one of the more incredible uses of the medium in just in terms of the internet as a combination of visual, of video, of written, of audio. Just kind of everything all in one. I've been fascinated by it. John Boyce over at SB Nation, who does a lot of really interesting stuff, put this thing together. And so I really kudos to John, kudos to SB Nation for really just deciding to take the leap and being really creative and just do something that's really avant-garde out there. You know, at least check it out, even if you don't follow it, if you don't dig it. I encourage everybody just to at least look at it. Just click on it, watch an episode or two, just because I really feel like it would encourage more creativity on the internet and create in a time when digital media is starting to pare back in a lot of places.
Right.
I don't know. I think we need just more people out there willing to kind of take a chance and do something a little bit different. And this definitely fit the bill.
Well, I think to your point too, not only are they scaling back, paring back, but a lot of folks are adamant that you only write short, short, short.
Right.
So anything over 500 words is frowned upon by management a bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. So it's like this is just, I mean, you talk about avant-garde. That's a great way to describe it. You've never seen anything like this on the internet. It is amazing. But that being said, it's so long.
It's really long.
It is long. So unbelievably long.
It is long, and the story is not, you know, it can be hard to follow at times.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Which was my big problem with it, because it's very cool. It's something different, but like...
Oh, you better be locked in.
That first edition is supposed to be when you're supposed to hook me on the story and the promise of what's to come, and I just didn't, get that.
There's a whole lot of WTF coming from...
Oh, for sure. Well, you know, I'll say this. I like the first, 30 seconds of it, and
yes.
I really like the last 30 seconds of it too, of the first episode.
Yes.
And everything
it took me like 20 minutes to go through the first episode. So I don't like if there's 24 more episodes of that, I can't do it.
No, they're not quite like.
I don't know if I want to invest in.
They're not quite like.
Okay,
that.
So there you go. But yes, I would say go check it out. It's on SB Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called
17776.
Okay, there you go. All right.
So it's 1776. Just throw an extra 7 in the middle of it.
Bingo. I like it. All right, Rank, hit me.
I want to give anti-daps to Hytham.
Okay.
For not inviting us.
Same.
The other guys here.
He lapped
franchise.
Me, bro. He lapped me, bro.
Like, what the F?
I got engaged. Why? I got engaged in August. He got engaged in December. He's already married. I'm not getting married for 8 months. He lapped me.
He was on the. But you know what? Like, in fairness to you, you're a little bit more attractive with more going for you.
Oh, thank you.
No,
yes.
I don't mean that.
Yes, I am.
I don't mean that in a bad way. But it's like, Hytham was like, the team offers them a deal. Like, yeah, I'll sign right now.
Oh,
you can
wow.
be like, I'll take a little bit more time.
Love you,
and
Hytham.
Make sure that I'm.
He'll never hear this. He'll never hear this.
The one takeaway I did take from that wedding was the suit that Marcus Grant was wearing. That it should be, and it's not because he's like, he's too modest, but it should be the thing that you pin to the top. You know what? Make it your profile photo.
I'm considering it.
Do at least put it on like your Instagram profile.
I think I'm considering whether or not I make it the Instagram or the Facebook. It may pop up.
It really it's worth putting up there. So if there's one good thing about us getting stiffed from that wedding, was it open bar, by the way?
It was.
Open bar. Was it liquor or beer
and
wine?
All of the above.
It was on a rant, so you can kind of bring.
Yeah, but you're not going to have a Hytham wedding without. That feature.
Because you can go to, the Costco and go get a bunch of Tito's or whatever and make it a high-end society. Because I got a Costco card. I don't know why we did that. That was awful.
What?
Buying bulk, save money.
Buying $80 worth of stuff you don't know, like none of this stuff. Because, you know, whenever you go
I love Costco.
It's the worst.
It's not.
Because we're walking around. My wife's like, I want to show you Costco. I'm like, I've been to a Costco. I know what it's like. I don't need to go see what it's like.
Okay.
And I know, and like, there was something there, like, they sell these Mediterranean chicken skewers.
Okay.
Which looks like a great lunch option.
Yeah.
But I know, because there was not, my wife, for whatever, I don't know why we have a cart. Like, we don't have a cart. I'll carry the baby. Like, no. I'm like, no, let's get a cart. I'm like, oh, my God. And I knew. Should we pick these up? I'm like, no. They'll be good for your lunches. I'm aware of this. She's like, you need it. Like, the first time in a decade where she's like, you need to start eating better. I'm like, you never say that. You're in charge of making the meals, and you cook, you fry everything. Like, it's not me. I would love to another, because I knew once you put one item,
uh-huh.
once one item yep. goes into the cart,
uh-huh.
there it is. Boom, Game there over. It is, $100. You might as well just throw a $100 bill, because then everything goes in. Because otherwise, you might not buy
oh my God.
800 paper plates. But if there's something also in there, because you're like, I'm not going to wait in this line to buy like a box of Bounty.
I see.
But if there's like three other items in there, like, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this.
I think you're the first person I've ever heard of complain about Costco.
It's miserable.
Everyone loves Costco.
I don't know. Costco, I have to get my mind right to go
single.
To Costco.
You're single.
It's
you don't
awful
count. You don't count.
I have to get my mind
right. All you single, you guys don't count. I'm just saying, man.
What do you need in bulk? What do you need that much
I need
of?
Paper towels. Okay. Those paper plates you just
you
mentioned.
You can steal them from
get me some
work.
Of them.
Like, they're here for free. You just walk, like, you go in.
But they're not the same quality, right?
They're lower quality. God.
They're not name brand quality.
I kid you. And some of the stuff, like, I was actually surprised. They had Travis Matthews shorts
okay.
at Costco. But they charged them.
I need plastic bags.
They were charging $40 for those. You're like, I could buy that online for $40. I thought you were supposed to be the savings discount place.
Okay, all right. You got anything else, pal?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got some more stuff.
Oh,
LaDainian Tomlinson.
All right.
Because we're working on the Why You Should Root For series, which is wrapping up. And I had a nice conversation with
Daily
LaDainian
Dap
Tomlinson.
To you for that. Good God almighty. That's
thank
a
you.
Hell of a lot of content. That's
thank
unbelievable.
You. Thank you. But I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to him because I was at one point a Chargers season ticket holder. And this was during his era. You know, I was old enough as an adult and could finally afford. I'm like, oh, I want to be a season ticket holder for football and just
okay.
see what that's like.
Yes.
And we had a great conversation about those mid-2000 Charger teams, talked about Marty Schottenheimer. Unfortunately, a lot of the stuff I will not be able to print because it was unfortunate for some. Let's just say, like, A.J. Smith is not a – neither one of us are a fan of him. So.
A.J. Smith is certainly not a reason why you should.
No. Him not being there should be okay. But, yeah, so that was really cool and really – it kind of solidified because I always had these random fan theories. Like, you know, like Drew Brees was a good quarterback. Like, there was no reason to draft Eli Manning
right.
and subsequently trade for Phillip Rivers because Larry Fitzgerald went third in that draft.
But what did they get in that haul? They got Phillip?
They got Phillip. They got Sean Merriman, Nate Cady.
Yeah.
I mean, they did fine.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
They could have drafted Larry Fitzgerald, and you would have had Brees, Fitzgerald, and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Wow.
Wow.
And I would never have fired – and I'm like, were you guys mad when they fired Marty Schottenheimer? And I'm sure he's been on record saying this.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah. He's like, Marty was my guy. I'm like, of course he was.
Of course.
And if Marlon McCree just falls down
I know.
After that interception –
bro, what are you doing?
They play host.
You're not going to freaking return that 80 yards to the house. Stop it. Go down.
And then they – yeah, exactly.
What are you doing, man?
And they would have hosted the Colts in the AFC Championship game, which would have been Peyton Manning, who they owned.
They owned them.
Oh, my God. And it's outdoors. Forget it.
Yeah.
And then they would have played the Bears in the Super. They could have won that. Anyways, low ball, continuing to play well. That's my niece, Lucy, who is 10 years old.
Okay.
She's starting to do stand-up. She's got a
– No, like she's not.
She got a little microphone.
What? That's great.
And a little thing. So for the family, so I said I'll go out and I emceed like as a joke. And she really got into it. And then I wrote her a joke too because we did a little ad-lib off of something. One of her jokes is like, what do you call a bald comedian? Like, what? She's like, sad. I'm like, how?
Oh, man, she got you, dude.
Oh,
roasted.
Burned.
Oh, roasted by burned. A 10-year-old.
It's good. All right.
So she's great.
Perfect.
Dabs to her. Dabs to Comedy Central for bringing back Scrubs. I forgot how much I'd love this show. Now it's back on Comedy Central.
All right, good.
Every morning. And Mike Tomlin, I just got a notification on my phone that he followed me.
Oh, nice.
Why? Dude, I want to talk. I hate when they do this. It's like when the Raiders followed me. It's like, well, now I can't talk S on you. Now I want to make all these Steeler jokes, and I can't.
Yeah. The great Adam Rank with his Daily Daps. All right, that's it for the show. We'll catch you again on Thursday, 8 a.m. Rate and review the podcast. Go check the Late Round series on NFL.com/fantasy as well. For the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, Matt Franciscovich, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and Adam Rank, I'm James Coe. We'll see you.
See you later.